Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, now through your word and by your spirit, teach us and mold us and shape us and make us more like Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, this past Sunday, we saw the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And so we saw that Jesus raises us. And we recognize that Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And so we know that God raises us. And so that's our theme tonight. God raises. And not only does he give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, but he raises us in so many other ways. The psalmist David wrote a psalm, recorded as Psalm 142, in which we see the way that even before the resurrection of Jesus, even before the resurrection of Lazarus, even before the incarnation of Jesus, that David understood that as he trusted and followed God, God would raise him in so many ways. So I want to invite you to look with me at Psalm 142. David, the psalmist, writes as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this: "With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him." The first point that I want to give us tonight is this: God welcomes us to raise our cries to him. God welcomes us to raise our cries to him. David is writing this from the cave, and he is in the cave hiding against those who pursue him, against those who would persecute him, against those who would seek to take his life from him. And he is there in the cave, and he is calling out to God. The psalm pictures a believer praying to God for deliverance from persecution. As David raises his cries directly to the Lord, so should we raise our cries directly to God. One of the greatest things that we have in our relationship with God as we trust and follow Jesus is we have a direct line to God. You know, sometimes people joke with me and they say, "Hey, Jeff, we need to get you praying on something," because I've literally had people say, "We know you have a red phone in your office that gets you straight to God. And so if we could get you praying about this, we know we could get some things done." And the truth is, I don't have a red phone in my office that's a direct line to God any more or less than you do. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity through Jesus to boldly approach God's throne of grace and know that he hears you. He welcomes you, believer, to raise your cries to him. So you don't have to go through an intermediary. You don't need a priest. You don't need a preacher. You don't need somebody to take your request to God. You can take it to him yourself, because he looks at you in Jesus Christ as his child, whom he loves. And so if your child wanted to come to you, would you make them run through 15 intermediaries before they could talk to you? No, you would welcome them to come and crawl up in your lap and tell you whatever it was they wanted to tell you. Well, the same is true of our God. He welcomes us to come straight to him. And that's exactly what David is saying here. "Lord, I come to you. I raise my cry to you. I pour out my heart to you." And you have the ability in Jesus Christ to do the exact same thing. So God welcomes us to raise our cries to the Lord. I remember, if you've ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, Tom Hanks's character, he's leading his men and they're going to find Private Ryan and they're going to try to save his life for his poor mother who's been through so much already. But at one point, those who are following Tom Hanks's character start to have an argument about the mission. And they start to complain to one another. And they asked him, Tom Hanks's character, "Do you believe in this mission? And what do you think about this mission?" And he said, "I think it's a good mission, and I think it's a mission for us to be on, because that's the mission that our superior officers have given us." "And what you guys need to understand," he said, "is that when you have complaints, they don't go down the chain, they go up the chain." He said, "So I don't complain to people that I'm in charge of. I complain to people above me who can do something about it." Well, let me ask you a question. We all have complaints in life. We really do. We all have struggles and we all have sorrows. Where do we take them? Do we spend our time, and I'm going to say this pretty bluntly because I have to deal with myself pretty bluntly, do I spend my time whining to those around me who can do absolutely nothing about my situation? Or do I raise my cry to Almighty God, the one who is absolutely able to do something about my situation, the one who's sitting on the throne, and the one who will see me through? Do I spend my time whining to those around me, or do I go directly to the one who welcomes my cries to him? David went to God, and I believe that God calls us to go to him as well. And through Jesus Christ, he has made the way open for us to do that, to boldly approach his throne of grace, to rejoice in all things, to pray in all circumstances, to take our requests to God with thanksgiving, thankful that he would even hear us and thankful that he is able to do anything he wants in our situation. And then to let him, as we have taken those things to him, to let him give us his peace that passes understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's the privilege that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. God welcomes us to raise our cries to him, just as David did in the cave. Well, now look with me at verse 3. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. The second point is this. God raises our spirit when it faints within us. God raises our spirit when it faints within us. The idea of the spirit fainting within you is that it means that you've reached the end of your strength. It means that you have reached the end of your rope. You don't have the strength to survive anymore. All of it's gone. You are spent. And so you cry out to God. But when God meets us in that place where our spirit faints within us and it seems like everything's falling apart and I'm all alone, he meets us there and he raises our spirit even when it faints within us. Do you remember the story of Elijah? Elijah had that amazing moment at Mount Carmel where he defeated the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. And I mean, it was unbelievable the deliverance that God gave him as he set up that competition between himself and all the prophets of Baal. And they set up the altars. And Elijah set up the parameters of the competition. You build an altar to your God, I'll build an altar to mine. You call down fire from your God, I'll call down fire from mine. And whichever God shows up with fire, then that's the one that is truly God. And you remember the story, the prophets of Baal chanted and they did all their rituals and all their dances and no fire came, to the point that Elijah even taunted them and even mocked them. Then Elijah whispered a prayer to Almighty God and the fire of God came and destroyed the altar and consumed all of it, the animal, the altar, even the rocks upon which the altar was built. God showed up in a mighty way. And Elijah prevailed over the prophets of Baal and slaughtered them. And then Jezebel, the king's wife, said, "May worse happen to me, Elijah, if I do not make your life like the prophets whose lives you've taken." And so Elijah goes from this great moment of victory to fleeing from Jezebel. And he reaches a point where he says, "It's enough, God. I'm done. Please take my life. I've reached the end of my rope." That's the sort of moment that David's talking about here when the spirit faints within you. You just feel like you have nothing left to give, and it's over. Remember what God did with Elijah? He sustained him, and then God welcomed Elijah to encounter him. But remember that God came to Elijah, but not in the way that Elijah expected. See, first, there was a wind that came to Elijah, but God was not in the wind. Then there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then there was a great fire, like the fire that had fallen from heaven, but God was not in the fire. But then came a still, small voice. And in that still, small voice, in that low whisper, God spoke to Elijah, and God strengthened Elijah. And that's the same sort of thing God will do for us as we trust and follow Jesus. When we reach the end of ourselves, we call out to God. I always find myself thinking, I should have called out to God earlier, because God will meet us right where we are. We don't have to expend all of our strength before we call out to Almighty God for Him to raise us. No, we can call out to Him right now, and He meets us. Now, He may meet us in ways we're not expecting. He may meet us in ways that are different from what we've experienced of Him before. But He still responds to us. He still raises us. And He still meets us. Now look with me at verse 5. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. The third point that I'd like to give us tonight is this. God raises our hope for rescue by being our refuge. God raises our hope for rescue by being our refuge. And so what do you see here? We see that God is our hope, that God is our refuge, that God is our portion, that God is our rescuer, that God is our deliverer. And we see the ultimate picture of Psalm 142, verses 5 through 7, played out in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was surrounded by evil human beings who were bloodthirsty and wanted Him dead. He was mocked, He was accused, He was spit upon, and He was taken out to Golgotha's hill, where the punishment for our sin was carried out on the spotless Lamb of God. He died on that cross, being derided by passers-by and giving up His spirit, saying, "It is finished." They took Him down from the cross and they buried Him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, He arose from the grave. That even though He had suffered such great, horrible suffering, God vindicated Him by raising Him from the dead, and Jesus arose victorious from the grave, and He won the victory over sin, over Satan, over hell, and over death. Where, O death, is your victory? It is swallowed up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if you are in Christ, you have been raised too. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That we who believe in Him, though we die, yet shall we live. And we who have been brought to spiritual life in Jesus Christ, well, our spirits will never die. But at the moment our life in our bodies comes to an end, our spirit will continue from life to more life with our God forevermore. That's the victory that God gives us. And so we stand in faith in the vindication of our Lord, who went through suffering and sorrow, but stands in victory. And we stand in victory alongside Him, compliments of His cross and resurrection. So tonight, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, make today the day of your salvation. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I've broken your law, and I deserve to be separated from you, and I deserve to go to hell. But I believe you came that I might be forgiven of my sin, that you died on the cross the death that I should have died. And 3 days later, you arose from the grave and live today. Jesus, come into my life. Please forgive me of my sin. I turn away from my life of sin to trust and follow you as my personal Lord and Savior. If you'll trust your life to Christ, He will transform you. He will call you His own. And He will give you a new trajectory and a new future, blessed in His presence. Would you pray with me? Lord, we all face the difficulties of life. They come in different ways, and they come in different times. But Lord, we all face them. And we are so thankful that when life's difficulties come, we can trust you. We can look to you. We can cry out directly to you. We don't need to go through an intermediary We don't need to go through a mediator. We come directly to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we come boldly, approaching your throne of grace with reverence and with honor and in humility. But Lord, you've told us to bring every request to you. So may we be faithful in doing that. And may we live raised by the power of Almighty God. Lord, as we prepare to face the rest of this week, we once again join our hearts and our minds and our voices together to voice that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight. And I hope you'll come back on Friday for Friday night virtual vespers at 6:30 as we talk about what it means that when the Lord Jesus is 4 days late, he's still right on time. God bless you.